This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Jason. For those of you that are new, Bobby said something about Pastor Jason taking the pulpit. I am not a pastor on staff here at this church. I just come and do my thing. And every once in a while, Hal says, "Hey, Kaler, get up there and say something from God." And, whew, okay, here we go. So those of you that are visiting us today, of course, there's a card in the front of the seat in front of you. Would you, if you haven't already gone out to the tent when you came in, you went past the tent, if you haven't done all that, would you please fill that card out? You can drop it in the black boxes as you walk out the back door, or you could take it to that tent that is sitting out there outside the door as you leave today. But please come back next week. Hal will be here, and he will be continuing his series on Matthew. I am the pinch hitter in the moment. So if you're like, "Whew, I don't know if I want this," please come back next week when Hal comes and says really good things and all that kind of stuff and I invite you back. For those of you that do know me, and I've been up here a couple times in the last few weeks, months, whatever, and you know that at the moment I am substitute teaching. I am trying to make a career change that is not going as quickly or efficiently as I had anticipated that it would. And so at the age of 55, I am substituting a long-term position at Eastside Elementary, first grade. Please pray for the first graders. There are 19 of them, and I hope when I'm done in 6 weeks, there will still be 19 of them. They're not allowed up out of their seats unless they raise their hand, because you can imagine how chaotic that would be. And so one child one day jumps up out of his seat and raising his hand. I don't know, he was got too into his coloring or something. I don't know specifically. And Mr. K, go, and ran to the restroom. Comes out a couple minutes later, and Mr. K, I didn't make it. Well, what does that mean? That means I got poop in my pants, Mr. K. Of course you do. Why not, right? Why not? That was a couple Thursdays ago. Oh, and by the way, I'm supposed to teach them how to read and do math and that kind of stuff. The very next Thursday, different kid. Mr. K, my last name is Kaler, and they just call me Mr. K. Mr. K, I just farted and poop came out. Okay. Why not? Thursdays are ominous. I'm thinking like ahead of time, I'm already taking Thursdays off because that seems to be the day. Leave it up to a sub. Oh, wait a minute, I am the sub. Aye. Another little boy. And this is a bad knock on the boys. I don't understand, but whatever. Not Mr. K. Oh my God. Oh, Mr. K. Mr. K. I gotta. Okay, go. Comes out of the restroom with his pants wide open. Mr. K. Yeah. I didn't make it. I couldn't get my pants open. I'm like, they're open now. I'm very confused. As is every kid in the class, going, oh, whoa. I said, please do up your pants and go to the clinic. I walk into the restroom and it's everywhere. Those of you that know the little boy anatomy, I'm just going to leave it to you. It was everywhere, wall, seat, floor. Holy smokes, have you been saving for a week? The message that I'm going to bring to you today, the message I'm going to bring to you today is going to be about agreeing with each other and not being selfish and being humble and loving one another and blah, 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 and the mindset of Christ. And we read stuff like this and we're like, yes, yes, oh, we can do this. We can do this. And therein lies part of our problem. Is we think that we can do and we can do and we can do, and if we keep doing and doing and doing, you know, it's going to get better and okay. And yet the passage, I think, that I'm going to bring out today, I think, is going to show us that all of this doing that we read about right here ends with a particular verse, verse 13 to be specific, saying, well, yes, but here's how the doing happens. And we laugh, I make jokes. It was not jokey standing in that first grade classroom with poop and pants open and pee everywhere and the other 17 to 18 kids that I also have to maintain. That's where reality sets in. The reality sets in because every day I'm knowing that I'm going to this place and there are 19 first graders that I am responsible for, and there's this collective group here that is pretty decent and they kind of do what they're told and yada, 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 but then you've got this group right here of about 5, 6, 7 kids that are like, whoa, I go, ha. And then I have this one child, I can't even stand high enough to show you, like, how much I have to take deep breaths in the morning to even get to the classroom because I know that this child is going to ultimately be there. And he's a problem. A big problem. A very, very angry 7-year-old child who acts like he's 2. And every day I get on one knee as he walks in the door and I tell him I love him and I'm glad he's in my classroom and I'm glad he's here today. And I hug him, and within 5 or 10 minutes he's already having a meltdown. And I read this stuff, this passage that we're going to read, and I'm like, yes, we can do this. We can do this, and then I get with that particular child or whatever, and you muster up in your mind that particular coworker that you're dealing with, that particular neighbor who whatever, that particular boss, this particular family member, and we read this and we're like, yes, and you know, we believe in God, and then reality steps in. And in reality, the enemy doesn't have to do a whole lot because we fall down into our own humanity. Our own, don't be selfish, be humble, we throw that out the window because we have to deal with this situation. And what is the reality of this? And the final verse of this collective group that I'm going to talk about this morning addresses this. Because it's really the only way that it works. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because if there was not greater in me, Christ in me, I don't care how hard I try. Oh, I might be able to do that for a smidge in a moment, and I'm sure you can too. But those moments back to back to back to back, whew, push us right over the edge. If I was to title this morning, And I know some of you are like, well, wait a minute, where are the notes? Well, I found out I was preaching this morning at 7:30 last night. So, I didn't make notes, sorry. I made my own notes. And I would title it this, Your Attitude Determines Your Altitude. It's not my own saying. You could shorten it, just say, attitude determines altitude, if you wanted to do that. How in the world do I go in every day? I you know what? This day, Sunday, is going to end. I'm going to go to bed, and guess what happens tomorrow morning? Poopy pants. That's what happens tomorrow. And I know that. So I may just preach, y'all just may be stuck. I may just preach all day, all night, and into tomorrow, so I don't have to go to poopy pants. Heavenly Father, Lord, Creator of the universe, wow, do I need you. Wow, I need you. Desperately do I need you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for giving me, us, your word. Thank you for allowing me to be able to take your word and put it into a semblance of an order and teach that and preach that, whatever in the world you want to call it. What? But Lord, I can't do this ultimately on my own. I may fake myself and do it on my own in a minute or in this, but ultimately it's going to fall down. I need you. We all need you. So Lord, I pray that you would open the minds and the hearts of the people here, that we would see, that we would hear, that we would know. The truth that we know sets us free, free to be who you created us to be. Jesus, thank you for your perfect example. So Jesus, we surrender ourselves to you this morning. You in us. You said it yourself, Jesus. If I in you and you in me and my word in you, then you will be able to accomplish much great fruit to the glory of my Father. That is what we cry out for. So Lord, I pray your blessing over this word this morning. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. It's going to come up on the screen here in the back. The booth people were generous enough to be able to make slides for me in a last-minute deal. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. Hal will be back next week and pick back up with his Matthew series. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm using the New Living Translation. That's what's going to be up on the screen. Of course, you're obviously more than welcome to just sit and read that as I go along. If you are on your phone or whatever, or you have a paper Bible in your lap, please follow along in the translation that you enjoy. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Jesus Christ? Is there any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Notice that that's a capital S. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Ha! Sounds like a silly verse, but we're going to talk about it. Verse number 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Instead, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. You must have the same attitude, the same mindset that Jesus Christ had, Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the position, humble position, of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in his human form, he humbled himself further in obedience to God, dying on a criminal's death on a cross. Verse number 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, verse number 12. Therefore, dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for it is God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Woo! Here ends the reading of God's Word. If you are a list person and you like your checkoffs, then something like this lights your fire. When we look down through these verses, we got to do this and this and this and this. We get to verse number 12 and work, work, work. And some of you are just salivating. Woo! Man, I got this. And man, when that one checkoff comes, it's great. We're going to move on to the next one. I had my dad call me one time years ago, and we're talking along, and all of a sudden my dad says to me, hey, Jace, guess what? I said, what? He said, man, I'll tell you, I really love to work. I said, Dad, yeah, I'm very aware of that. Trust me, I was your son. I lived with you for 18 years. I worked way more than I wanted to because you were my dad. It just was in his psyche. My daughter is a educational psychologist here in Hernando County. She works at Moton and Nature Coast. And there's a need out at Pine Grove. There's somebody's left and da-da-da-da-da. And so in a big meeting of all the educational psychologists the other day, the lead person said, listen, we need some help out here at Pine Grove. Who do you think came right up out of her seat with her hand up? My daughter. Because let's do some more. And for some of us in here, that just ignites us. We're going to get to verse number 13. For some of us, the idea of doing, do, work, whatever that means, and making a list and checking it twice, and that overwhelms us. And we look at verses 2 and 3 and 4 and are just like, oh my goodness, I'm breathing. I got up this morning. I got to do all of this. And verse number 5, be like Jesus? What? Did you know a kid pooped his pants in my glass? So verse number 1. First of all, if you are in a paper Bible and you can just look back up at the end of chapter 1. I don't know on your phones or whatever. I don't know if it's scroll specifically. Usually it's just by chapter. But in chapter 1, the last two verses that Paul writes before moving into chapter 2, and you understand, right, he didn't write chapter 2 and verse. I mean, he just wrote a letter. So it's just a couple of sentences prior to this. He says in the end of chapter 1, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Jesus, yeah, but you also have been given the privilege of suffering for Jesus. No, that's not very American. Verse number 30, and we are all in this struggle together. Isn't that a song? All in this together. I don't think that's what they're singing about. It's a struggle. The sufferings of Christ. And so therefore, chapter 2, verse number 1, and so therefore, and I know that some of your translations don't pose them as questions. Some of them just pose them as statements. And so therefore, is there, as we look at verses 29 and 30 back up in chapter 1, therefore, is there any encouragement from belonging to Jesus? Are these questions of verse number 1, are these questions just rhetorical questions? Because in the church, if we are spiritual enough, we would say, well, yes, of course they're just rhetorical, Jason. Is there any encouragement for those in Christ? Of course there is. Is there any comfort from the love of Jesus? Of course there is. Is there any fellowship one with another because of God's Spirit? Of course there is. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Well, not quite so much. And so I ask you, are those four questions just rhetorical? See, I would argue no. And I know that there is a lot of church people, none of us here. Vine Life has no church people. Okay? But there would be a bunch of church people who would say, oh, how dare you? And I would say, okay, well, please don't do this. But how many of you in here right now would say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Word of God. But man, I am not feeling very encouraged. In fact, I'm really quite discouraged because of this, because of this. Because that's reality, isn't it? How many would be willing to say, and the second question, is there any comfort from His love? Well, of course, the biblical Christian thing to say is, well, of course there is. And if we're honest with ourselves, would we be honest with ourselves in the moment and say, has there ever been a time, and maybe even in this moment, where you're going, well, of course Jesus loves me. But my goodness, I just don't feel very loved right now. And it goes on. Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? I don't know about you, but man, I've never been a part of a church where there's some fighting within the church. Never. Every church I've been in, man, it's like lovey-dovey all the time. I've never been a part of a church with a church split. I've never been in a church where people have argued about the carpet color and the seat color and whether the pastor said the right, or the worship leader led the right song. Or never. I've been in only churches that have, man, it is, man, there's just fellowship in the Spirit all the time. Love. So please do not look at verse number 1 and say, well, those are just rhetorical questions. I think Paul's challenging us. He's challenging us. He's saying, listen, we get to have the privilege of trusting in Jesus, back up in chapter 1, but we also have the privilege of suffering with Him, and we are all in this struggle together. And so we need to find our foundation. We need to find what we're standing on, what we're believing in, the truth that I know sets me free. Well, guess what? I don't always feel free. But I know the truth, and I'm moving in that direction. Oh, good, Jason, you're doing. Well, kind of. Wait till we get to verse number 13. Verse number 2. Verse number 2 staggers me. I read verse number 2, and I'm like, man, Paul, what do you... Really? Is this really, really... I mean... Was it so different back there in the early church, and we have it so mucked up today? And I don't think so, because then there's other times where Paul says, hey, you know those two ladies, Syntychia and Chakamakia, and they're fighting? Well, please have them stop. I have no idea how to really say their names, and some of you are like, wow, I didn't know they named those their kid. I don't know how to say their names. But these two ladies are fighting, and Paul writes to the church and says, hey, help them to stop fighting, please. Paul himself got into a fight with Barnabas because Barnabas wanted to take John Mark on the next missionary journey, and Paul's like, yeah, no, because he bailed on us on the last one. Rawr, 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 rawr. Read it, it's right in the book of Acts. And the great Paul and Barnabas the encourager yelled at each other. What? No, I mean, that guy, I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, this Paul guy. No, it's very clear. Then make me truly happy, he says in verse number 2, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. What? That? Because guess what? It's not about us. It's not about me doing more and just pulling up my bootstraps. I'm gonna just do this. We're going to get to verse number 13 and find the foundation. Love one another. Love one another. Jesus said it, right? And they will know, the people out there, the world, the non-believers, and they will know you are mine by your what? By your love for one another. And yet, what do we hear on a regular basis? I'd never go to church, man. Are you kidding me? Church people beat each other up. Why in the world would I want to go there? And work together with one mind and one purpose. See, here's where I'm going with this. Here's where I hope we're racing to. Is this idea is that we put on our worker boots and we got our work belt on and we got our hard head. We're going to do these things. Man, if you sit down and you read these things and you're real with yourself and I'm real with myself, we're saying this is impossible. And so if I think I've got to do and do and do and do more and do more and do more in order to be saved or in order to get to heaven or in order to be right with God or receive His love or whatever that's going on in my mind, none of that in reality makes sense outside of verse number 13. None of it does. It can't. Because I hope you, like me, know the darkness of mine own heart. I hope you, like me, can look in the mirror and say, whoa, I am my own enemy. I have a little thing written on my table that I study at in the morning before I go to first graders. And it says, love them patiently. Monday of this last week didn't go very well. I did not love them very patiently, specifically the kid that's like way up here and tests me all the time. Did I get to the end of that day and blow that and I was less in the eyes of God? I was less loved? He crossed his arms and took a couple steps back and goes, well, hope you can do it better tomorrow. No. He's still crazy about me. He still loves me. He still takes me back to verse number 13 and says, hey, just remember, this isn't you trying really hard. This is me working in you. Oh, and by the way, Jason, I really, really, really love that little kid that's way up here on your scale driving you crazy. I love him very, very, very much. And in the moment, I'm like, well, good for you, God. So then we get into 3 and 4. Here's our checklist. Here's a little more of our checklist. And those of us that are, woo, we love our checklists. And here's a little bit more. You ready? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, which literally means that I'm submitting myself to the people around me. I'm getting down on their level or even below them and grabbing their burden and helping or maybe even putting the entire burden on my back and saying I'm being humble, I'm submitting myself, I'm becoming submissive. Man, there's a big part of most humans that don't want to do that, me included. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Verse number 4, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. You see, Paul's not saying that we don't have interests. I'm clothed today, thank God, number one. I'm clothed today because I have an interest. I want to have clothes, I want to have food, I want to have a house, I want to have electricity. That hot water coming out this morning was very nice. That cup of coffee was great. And so on and so on and so on and so on. So he's not saying, you know, you've got to reach a point where you have no interest. Like you just can't be interested in yourself at all. It says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. Are you purposefully looking around at the people that you're coming in contact with, those at work, those in your family, the lady man at the cashier box that's checking out your groceries? Are you taking an interest in them and what interests them at all? And I'm not even going to say, well, no, probably not, because, you know, we're too self-absorbed, which is probably the case for most of us. But maybe you just had a bad day. Maybe you just had a rough day. Maybe a kid pooped his pants. And so I don't really necessarily care specifically about the person who's checking out my groceries as I'm just trying to get home so I can go to my room and decompress. But man, it's on my checkoff list. Oh, and begrudgingly, at best, we may do these things. You see, that it can't be about that. But Jason, we love to do. I mean, you know, is that not what God wants from us? Well, of course it is. Of course he wants us to be, because it's going to say this, be obedient and all that kind of stuff and have fruit. Of course. But man, when that becomes our MO, when that becomes our mojo, and it's all about that, and we forget about verse number 13, it doesn't last very long. We become a train wreck, and then we become Pharisees and Pharisaical. And Jesus said something like this: if your righteousness is not greater than that of the Pharisees, you're not going to get to heaven. Whoa, wait a minute. Did I not do all these things? So we do 1 through 4. And we're like, all right, well, you know, I got my checklist, I got my heart hat, and we can do this. But then we get to verse number 5, and hopefully you read verse number 5, and you're like, oh, great. Well, because here's what verses number 5 and on say. You must have the same attitude and the same mindset that Jesus Christ had. What? I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at least a couple times. We're talking all-star level here. We're talking 100% human. Lisa, can you finish this for me? 100% human and 100% God. It's what she was supposed to say. She was in my Bible class years ago. It's 100% human, 100% God. I had a child one time raise their hand and say, Mr. Kaler, 100% and 100% doesn't make 100%. I'm like, oh, you little math genius. Nicely done. How does this work? And then how does this fare to us? To say verse number 5, how is that fair? I'm not 100% God. I'm I'm 150% human as I do dumb things. Though he was God, verse number 6, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his rights. He gave up his privileges. So you go back up into verses 3 and 4, don't be selfish, be humble. Guess what that means? That means we give up our rights. Whoa, once again, that's not very American. I'm American. I got me my rights. Not according to this, you don't. But what if I am right? Well, okay, you might be. But can you be right at the wrong time? Yep. Some of you, I see you right now, you're writing that down. I don't think I agree with that. Let me see. You can be right at the wrong time. Yeah, I'm going to really think about that one. I don't know. You can be. You can be right at the wrong time. Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He gave up his rights. And not only did he do that, but then it goes on in verse number 7, and it says that he humbled himself down to the position of a slave. Here we are again, back up in verse number 3. Be humble. That doesn't mean, oh, you know, I'm a humble guy. In fact, I won the humble contest the other day. I'm the humblest person I know. Humble, having humility, is going down to this verse number 7. And again, coming down to the whatever level, grabbing their burdens, whatever that means, and shouldering it at least with them, or maybe all of it, And we're reminded that Jesus did this going on in the earth. He put this thing on his back called a cross, and he shouldered not only the cross, but our sin and our shame and our yuck, our poop. Became a human, and human formed continued to humble himself in obedience, dying a criminal's death on a cross. And so therefore, and this is where then we go, okay, well, Jason, I mean, come on. 9, 10, and 11, are you kidding me? Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor, giving him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confesses to the glory of God. Well, yeah, because, you know, this is talking about Jesus. Yes, it is. Christ in me. It's the only way this gets done. Verse number 13. We're getting there. And so we look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and say, well, these verses 9, 10, 11, I mean, they only really apply to Jesus. So that's, you know, that's not really fair. But we're going, and we got it up here on the screen, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Peter's talking to you and me. He says, so humble yourselves. Submission. Can I be your slave? Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up and he will honor you. The same promise that came to Christ is the same promise that comes to us. And God is a promise keeper. He can't do anything but fulfill his promises. Verse number 7. And so therefore, understand, 6 goes right into 7. Because I'm going to hold this back. I'm going to hold this forgiveness back. I'm going to hold this love back. I'm going to hold this mercy back because, you know, I don't think you deserve it. No, it comes down to verse number 7. Give all your cares, all your worries, all your knowledge, and all your fears to God because he cares about you. And so when I'm not willing to submit and I'm not willing to get down into verses 3 and 4 and on the mindset of Christ, when I'm not willing in those moments, what I have started doing over the last X number of years is I've gone to this verse right here and say, okay, well, what am I worried about? What am I concerned about? What am I afraid of? Well, they might take advantage of me. I might forgive them, and then they think, oh, well, then you know, nothing really happened. Oh, and something did happen. Because all of this, Peter and Paul and John, all of this goes back to verse number 13. The crux, the everything leans on verse number 13. So verse number 12 then, as we're wrapping this up. Mine doesn't say this, dear friends. Some of your translations say therefore. Here's another therefore. And whenever there's a therefore, you've got to look back up into the verses before that to find out what's going on to get us to the therefore. Therefore, you've always obeyed when I was there. Obey even more now. And here we go. And work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with reverence and fear. Rawr, yeah, yeah, let's go. We're in the tunnel getting ready to go. Ooh, 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 ooh. And then we run out on the field and get our butts kicked. Because we don't understand. We don't grab a hold of verse 13. You ready? Verse number 13. For it is God working in you. Huh. Wow. It is God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Is there a cooperation? Absolutely. Of course there has to be a cooperation. Is there a yielding on our part, a humbling on our part, a believing on our part, faithfulness on our part, reading the word? Yes, 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 yes. Of course there is. We can't just, oh, there's no chair up here. We can't just sit back and be like, oh, God, let's do this thing. Come on. Just waiting, you know, just waiting on it. That's why we have to take these verses, 1 to 12, and merge them with 13. We have to. Does that mean I'm going to get it right every time? Absolutely not. 100% no. Does that mean I'm even going to do it maybe kind of sort of halfway? Maybe, but maybe only a fourth. I don't know in any given situation with any given person, but my goal, and I used to do this, Lisa, maybe you remember this too. I used to say this with my kids. Listen, when you get saved, like here's the sin deal. Like I'm learning, I'm trying, but as we walk this out with Christ, in me, in the Word, God in me, then that begins to diminish little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. That doesn't mean that in any given moment it's not going to do this all of a sudden, bam! Because guess what? And now y'all are going to be like, oh, Jason, I can't believe it. Godly people do ungodly things. But what I'm telling you is verse number 13 tells us that there is a God who is working all the time. When we can't see Him, when we can't feel Him, when we can't sense Him, He is always at work, and He is at work in me. Well, Jason, how does that work? I don't know. It's supernatural. My mind tumbles and turns a ton. Trust me. But what I got to do is I got to just say, well, here it is. And so, God, you need to give me the faith. You need to give me the belief, and I'm gonna step out. So yes, when this little kid that drives me bonkers, the one that's way up here, every morning, right like this, down on my knee at the door, dude, I am so glad you're here today. I love you so much. Thank you for coming to my class. Can I have a big hug? Yeah, Mr. Keller, big hug. All right, we're gonna have a great day today. Literally 3 minutes later, he's on the floor, threw his book bag, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, open the door. Woohoo! I've never done that. I've left the door shut and just threw it. No, I didn't do that either. Your attitude, verse number 5, you must have the same attitude, the same mindset as Christ. I'm telling you, please hear me. You can't get to verse number 5 and make that happen by just, oh, I'm just going to try really hard to have the same mind as Jesus. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Oh, it may work in a little moment, and you know, there's tendencies that we do some good. I mean, we're made in the image of God. We're image bearers. So there's a good part of us that, yeah, and you know, maybe this person that we really, really love or like, and so, you know, they do something wrong, we're like, well, you know, I'm willing to forget, you know. Maybe. But there will not be consistency. There will not be growth in your spiritual journey outside of the reality of verse number 13. In fact, I kept saying it over and over again through these verses. What is the reality? How is this real? Is this real? Is this a real? The only, in my mind, and again, you can call me out, send emails to me, not to hell. The only ultimate reality for me is verse number 13. He is the only constant. He's it. And it is God working in you to give you the desire, the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And the willingness to go back to what Peter said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. So man, when we do blow it, as quickly as we can, whatever in the moment, we get back on our knees and say, oh God, I'm so, wow, did I blow it. How desperately do I need you? And you know the reality of you even doing that is Him working it in you to do that. Christ in and through me. God in and through me. The Spirit of God in and through me. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the vessel. No one walks up to the diamond store with all the showcase of diamonds and leans down over the holder, the glass, and goes, "Wow, this is the nicest glass I've ever seen in my life." They're looking right through the glass at the what? At the diamonds. Christ that is in me. God that is in me. It is God working in me. Am I cooperating with that working? Absolutely. Again, by His power, I'm cooperating.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Word.